And you're welcome back to Davenport After Dark. Well, Westerners generally subscribe to the belief that Jesus, the Son of God, born in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago, was a white man. But over the years, Americans have remade Jesus visually, time and again, into a symbol of their greatest aspirations and deepest fears, so that his hair colour has been changed, his eyes have been altered, and his skin colour has changed from white to black to olive. So why have these images of Jesus been reimagined, and just how significant is this in representing the changing culture and political landmarks of American history? Well, Edward J. Bloom is a lecturer in race and religion in San Diego State University, and he's co-author of a new book which explores the issue entitled The Color of Christ, the Son of God and the Saga of Race in America. And he joins us now. You're very welcome to the programme, Edward.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Let's talk about the drive behind this. What drove you to explore the subject in the first place?
Well, there's a really personal story behind it. I was entering my adulthood and starting to have children, and I thought, what kind of images would circulate around them, and what would it mean? I thought back to my own childhood of growing up in a church of all white people, with white images of angels and even then of the God-man Jesus. And I started reflecting on how did that teach me a special way of thinking about humanity, that certain people were more special, were more valuable than others, those with white skin, And I wanted to not teach that message to my children, and so I started thinking, okay, historically, you know, how does this have a story? How did Jesus get made white? And that's what I set out to write about.
And so when did the white Jesus, I suppose, as many of us Westerners picture him and Europeans picture him, when did he first become prominent then?
Yeah, it's an interesting story because in the Middle Ages, we can find all various forms of Jesus. We can find black Madonnas and black baby Jesuses. We can find, you know, the Da Vinci painters who paint Jesus looking more European. And then we get this particular thing called America, where the first British, the first English settlers were radical iconoclasts. They destroyed imagery. They saw. They didn't want to see Jesus. They didn't want to visually create him. And so, in the United States, we get the emergence of particular forms of Jesus. Not until the early 19th century, to the early 1800s, and that's exactly the moment when the United States is growing its slave. Growing its number of slaves. It's pushing Native Americans further into the West and things like the Trail of Tears. And in the American context, basically we see the first white Jesus at exactly the moment when white authority is really being kind of legislated on the ground and put into power.
And as regards the Bible at that stage, what was the Bible telling people Jesus looked like, or was there any description at all in the Bibles that people were using?
That's the trick. The Bible, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they don't say one word about what Jesus looked like. They talk about bodies. They talk about sick bodies or demon-possessed bodies. But what his hair length was, what his eye color was, it's not there. And that's what's so fascinating, right? Our obsessions with bodies and the mutability of bodies, the changeability of bodies, that wasn't their obsession 2,000 years ago. Their obsessions were, I'm blind. How can I see? And so in that sense, Jesus was an empty symbol. He had no physical face, so Americans could make him the way they wanted to, given whatever their desires were of the moment.
And what about this line then that's oft repeated, that we created, that humans created God or Jesus in our own image?
Yeah, that's true and fundamentally untrue, because creating an image takes power. And not just to create the image, but to distribute the image, right? We know that certain images become icons, right? They become widely known. We all know them. You know, we all know what, you know, if I mention U2, We all know what I'm referencing, right? We know the band.
Yeah.
And so slaves, for instance, African-American slaves, they didn't have the power to create images of Jesus and distribute them. And so what we see is slaves received images of white Christs, and they saw that as their Christ. They saw that as Jesus, and they then twisted and transformed the symbol. But it's not the case that all people in all times create Jesus to look like themselves. Let me give you one other quick example. The Native Americans have this great response to the white images of Jesus. They look at white missionaries and say, wait a second, so you people killed your own God, so you're white people, you killed a white God, and you want us to believe you? You know, so their response to the kind of racial religious dynamic was, well, if God looks like you, why'd you murder him? You know, so for them, and for Native Americans, it's usually not about seeing Jesus as Native American. It's about other qualities of kind of community life, of what does it mean to be kind of impoverished, to be outsiders. So there's this, it is true that many people do visualize Jesus to look like themselves, but we can't forget technological power, money power, that those things matter in what images get widely distributed.
And you look, I mean, you mentioned slavery a little bit earlier. You do look to what extent white supremacist groups in the States have relied on this image of a white Jesus to defend what they believe and defend what they do. For example, the Ku Klux Klan. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so, and the other, what's so fascinating about kind of white authority in America and its white Jesus as a symbol is that it changes over time. So in 1830, most Americans, white Americans, have no problem with Jesus having brown eyes and brown hair and being called Jewish. If we fast forward 100 years, a new painting comes out in 1930 from an American painter where Jesus is clearly blonde and clearly blue-eyed. And this is the Jesus that the Ku Klux Klan, comes to know and love. Because the Ku Klux Klan of the early 20th century, they didn't just hate black people. They hated immigrants. They hated Catholics. They hated Jews. And for them, de-Semiticizing Jesus, so making him less Jewish, not having, letting him have brown hair, making him more, they would use the word Nordic. Of course, in Germany at the time, folks are using the word Aryan, that there's a conscious move to particularize the whiteness of Jesus given, you know, immigration shifts and transformations. And so what we see in the early 20th century is Americans and some Europeans really being drawn to the blue-eyed, blonde Jesus that even after the Holocaust, even after World War II, those things are over, even after the Ku Klux Klan falls away, you know, becomes really kind of not very powerful, the images stick with us.
And if we're to look at the last century then, in the 20th century, to what extent did images of black Jesus emerge in America?
Yeah, they emerge in two moments. The first moment is during the Harlem Renaissance. We see in the 1920s and 1930s, these black writers and some kind of white bohemians who hang out with them, they start talking about Jesus as a lynch victim, because in America, every 3 or 4 days we have a lynching, you know, an extra legal, violent murder of an African-American man. And so they start painting Jesus as a black man who's lynched / crucified. Then we get into the civil rights era of the 1950s and 1960s, and we hear basically what happens is a group of young, brash, black power activists, they get a little tired of Martin Luther King Jr. They get a little tired of nonviolent resistance, and they become more active, more aggressive. They also turn away from a kind of Christian turn-the-other-cheek mentality. Well, a group of pastors, they want to have both their black Christianity and their black power. And the way they do it is by discovering a kind of an aggressive, strong black Jesus who, yeah, he gets crucified, but before that, he turns over the money changers, their tables. he speaks against imperialism, you know, and so these black theologians in the 1960s and 1970s kind of rediscover a black Jesus and start pushing him, and that came up really prominently in the 2008 American presidential election, when Barack Obama's pastor was Jeremiah Wright, could be heard, you know, talking about Jesus was a poor black man, and that, you know, caused a lot of waves here 4 years ago.
Yeah. So, given all your research, Edward, at the end of all of this, what did Jesus really look like?
Yeah, that's the question. That's what everyone wants to know. I give book talks, I do radio, you know, we have wonderful conversations like you and I are having. And at the end of the day, it's, but come on, wink, wink, nod, nod, yeah. What do you really look like?
Yeah.
And I always want to answer that with, that's our obsession. Why are we obsessed with what things look like when they weren't obsessed? So what do you think? What did Jewish people, Jewish men look like 2,000 years ago in the Middle East? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
You know, I don't know who really knows. Forensic scientists have tried, and they've created this composite image of Jesus. But composites are weird, especially given populations that are ethnically diverse. What would a composite, quote, American look like? All 300 million of us. Strange, maybe something. So I don't know. I'm going to not answer the question, but I'll answer it this way. In the Bible, it talks about another body of Christ, and that's people. And Jesus himself even said, if you see someone who's hungry, and you see someone who's homeless, and you help them, you do that unto me. And so my answer to that is, you see someone in need, that's what Jesus looks like.
Well, you still avoid the question, kind of, but anyway.
Of course.
Edward, thank you so much. We leave it there. If you want to find out more about it, his book is called The Color of Christ, The Son of God, and the Saga of Race in America. Edward J. Bloom, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
It was delightful. Thank you.